for our reading tonight in Psalm 14. Just 7 verses, but much there. This is the NIV. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt, and their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looked down from heaven on the human race. Oops, he slipped from time to time. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the human race to see if there were any who understood, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Do all the evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call upon the Lord, but there are they, overwhelmed with dread. For God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, for the Lord restores his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. I think I need tightening these up sometime. Psalm 14, just 4 verses. And it speaks of the fool who has said in his heart, there is no God. Apparently in the Latin, the word fool means, it's taken for word we bellows. I didn't realize that. Just a lot of hot air. Somebody who likes to hear the sound possibly of his own voice. Somebody who's confident that he does not need God. Reminds me a great deal of the rich man in the Gospels who had all that grain and all that. And he didn't speak to God about it. He said self. He spoke to himself. He was so self-confident, wasn't he, that he didn't need to talk to God. He was all right, Jack, as people say. There is those kind of people about today. They're not stupid. They're not silly. They're not uneducated. They're clever people. And they've got on in life. Perhaps they push people down on their climb to get where they are. And they look around and they see religious people. And perhaps like Lenin, they see the opium of the people, they think, religion is. Those who are weak need God. But I don't need God. Perhaps these are the kind of people, this kind of fool that we read about here. The fool who says in his heart, not just in his mind, but his whole heart believed that there was no God. Perhaps all the drive, all that, it drowned out any thought of God at all. And again, in the Hebrew, there is the word nebel, and that also means self-assured. A pusher, like Nabal, who was in the Old Testament, who had no time for David. Why should I bother with David? Nabal said. He pushed forward in his blindness to get on. And we see that a lot, perhaps in our own day, today, too. Even in British society, there is that gap which is widening between the rich and the poor. But then the psalm goes on from speaking of this, he says, the Lord looked down from heaven and his eyesight is perfect. Not like mine, I need glasses. I have some trouble sometimes coming up this step because they're bifocals. But God's vision is perfect. The Lord looked down from heaven on the human race to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. I know this is found elsewhere in Scripture, but this goes from just one kind of person who doesn't believe in God. He takes in the whole of the human race. All. I love the short words in Scripture, don't you? They're so clear and so direct. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Amazing, isn't it? The vision of what God looked down and saw the human race. We like sheep, Scripture tells us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way. And then that wonderful continuation. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There was a program the other day about the translating the Bible. And he said there are all sorts of words in the Bible, but when it comes down to the straightforward Anglo-Saxon, it's straight one-syllable stuff. No, not one. None of us are righteous of our own ability. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the Scripture tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to bear away our sin, to bear away completely. And we say on a Lord's Day morning that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And no matter how many times we say it, it still has that wonderful, wonderful wonder about it, doesn't it? That there is none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Verse 4, do all evildoers know nothing? I've got a little thing here that tells us about Bertrand Russell, the writer. He said, when I get to heaven, if I get to heaven, he said, or if I don't get to heaven, I would have a complaint to God. You never gave us enough information. He never really looked around, did he? And saw the wonders of what God has done. The wonders of the universe. One of them, every time we see these scientific things and we read of the wonders of the universe, one thing sticks in our mind. With me, it's our backyard. You know, the Milky Way. If we're any further in, we'd get sucked in and destroyed. If we're any further out, we'd freeze. We're absolutely in the right place. When you think of the universe, we used to have arguments in the Air Force about the universe. And Gashlarge, he came out with the theory of the big brick wall. He said, you go so far and there's a dirty great brick wall, John. And so that was one way of ending the argument. And when he was going back to his bed and he said, don't anybody ask me what's the other side of that brick wall. Because you can't imagine the size of the universe and the wonder that God has created. And we look at even the smallest thing. How great is our God? There was an astronaut, a Russian astronaut, who when he went up into space, he looked out into space and he said, I saw no God. And somebody once said to him, if you'd stepped outside your capsule, you'd have met him. It's wonderful to think of the wonder of our God. And there have been those this summer who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. Malcolm told me about one. His name was William, and he was at Lockley Water Farm. He tried to run away a few times. He comes from Tower Hamlets in the East End of London, William does. And he's been on my mind ever since Malcolm mentioned him. And William has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour at camp this year. He has come to know something that this person in verse 1 didn't know. Didn't know the wonder of God. Didn't know what the wonder of salvation. And when we think of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, I'm getting a bit on my bandwagon now, because it's wonderful. We say that so many people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ at different things. But I wonder if we continue to pray for them, that they might grow, continue to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going on down through this psalm. For God is present in the company of the righteous, it says there in verse 5. Oh, that when the churches, when somebody comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the churches may help them. It's wonderful that this verse says that God is present in the company of the righteous. That the young people or anyone who comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ is nurtured by the church. But it also says, it means here, that the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord is with them, not just only when they're in their church, but also when they're hanging out with their friends. I remember coming home as a Christian for the first time. I was saved in the Air Force. And to witness to my own family, imagine young people going back from camp and meeting with the people that they've known all their lives, the people they still hang out with. But now they are a Christian. We need to pray for them. It says here, evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor. And the devil will always try to frustrate. He can't take salvation away from those who come to know the Saviour. But he can frustrate. He can discourage. But the Lord is their refuge. Wonderful, isn't it, to know that we have a refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't stand on our own two feet. We need the refuge, which is the Lord. And then we come to that last verse, wonderful verse, speaking to the Christian of what is to come. The wonderful, wonderful hope. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. Oh, yeah, I wish that salvation would come to my family. I prayed once to God that help me to pray more for my family. And I found out the next week just how big that family is. I was just meaning Gina and Tori and the two grandsons But the Lord showed me just how big my family was and said, have you been praying for those recently? Oh, that we might pray for those in our family who as yet do not know the Saviour. Oh, that salvation would come to us. Oh, that salvation might come to members of our family. And when the Lord restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Are you looking forward to that day? Do you love his appearing? Are you looking forward to that day? We are now towards evening time, a day's march nearer home. Wonderful, isn't it? The wonderful hope that we have. And yet there are neighbours. We've got a new neighbour next door. We haven't met them yet. We've seen them through the window. We haven't been nosy. But we've seen them through the window. We don't pray perhaps enough for our neighbours. I looked at the sheets of prayer lists I got at home, and I thought to myself, how often do I pray for some of this? We need to pray. We need to pray for those who as yet do not know the Saviour, but never forget the wonderful thing that is laid up before us. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. I wonder if we could sing number 573. The last line in this psalm. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Rejoice and be glad. The Redeemer has come. Go look on his cradle, his cross and his tomb. Three places where he was. He is now dwelling with us. I am with you always. A lovely, lovely little bit of Anglo-Saxon truth. Rejoice and be glad. Sound his praises, tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness. He now lives again. Praise his name. Shall we stand and sing 573?